and there is no government on earth that has the authority to force you to wear a mask. We will not do that here. So he's going completely against the governor's dictates, and he's telling the truth. That's what true leadership would look like on this. They would reason with us. They would persuade us, but they will never force us. I think the fear-mongering they know is working. They've always known that that's the best tool for propaganda and brainwashing, and they've got us. And nobody cares, because as long as you scare them enough, they'll do whatever you say. And that's what people are going to line up for, that vaccine. As long as they call it a coronavirus vaccine or COVID-19 vaccine, people are going to line up for that. But the thing of it is, there's going to be a few of us who will not. And we're not going to take it. And there's where the sheriffs come in. And the sheriffs must take action to prevent this before that day comes. They can't wait for the day they're coming to us door to door to give us the vaccination, or they're ordering us to get on the bus to the health department to go get lined up.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a really important interview with Sheriff Mack. We are going to be talking about fighting for our rights and using the sheriffs, who are the only ones in our country who are elected by the people for the people, and they should be standing up for our constitutional rights. And that includes the mask mandates and the mass vaccinations that we're concerned are going to be implemented across this country, and the forcing upon us. It's one thing about suggesting it and really wanting people to do it and providing really great leadership, but it's the forcing people to do it that's against the Constitution. And that's what Sheriff Mack is doing, educating sheriffs across the country. He has we said it was going to be a GoFundMe campaign, but because GoFundMe has had some serious issues with whistleblowers, and also with, they just took down Candace Owens' page because they said she's insensitive to the cause. So I don't think they're going to be very helpful to us in this situation as well. So we have it set up with Snowball. It's a great charity fundraising application. We're still learning how to use all the little things on it, but it's good for what we got set up right now. So the donation link is below. We're trying to raise $300,000 to not only fund Sheriff Mack's work so he doesn't have to work another job so he could do this full time, but also the goal is to train at least a third of the sheriffs in this country. So if mass vaccinations come down, barreling down on us, forced mass vaccinations, that they will be ready and prepared to stand up for our rights. This may be one of the most important donations you'll ever make. And before I get into this interview, I just want to make it really clear to those folks at YouTube and Google that this is not an anti-vaccine video. This is a pro-constitutional rights video. And we're not telling anybody that vaccines are bad. We didn't take that route. We are concerned about the speed of this vaccine and whether it's safe. And I think there's a lot of people that are concerned, a lot of doctors. And frankly, we just shouldn't be forced. So it's our constitutional rights to be able to choose in a situation that is so murky like this. Even if it wasn't murky, it'd be our constitutional rights to be able to choose. And that's the message that Sheriff Mack is trying to educate people on based on our Constitution. So let's get into this really important interview now with Sheriff Mack. Hi, Sheriff Mack. Welcome back to the program.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate being back with you.
You know, we had such a great interview last time, and I'm so glad that you're back. It seems like the whole world went out of control since then. And, you know, we were talking about lockdowns and the overreach during the lockdowns. And at that time, they were just talking about having lockdowns until they flattened the curve. Well, obviously, we both know the curve has been flattened and that the death rate has been cut in half for even those who have been hospitalized. They're starting to figure this out, but yet they are still insisting on all these terrible measures. Let's talk about the mask mandate.
First of all, can you tell me, with all your everything that you know about masks and the Constitution, is it legal for them to mandate that everyone wears a mask?
There might be, if we're talking about semantics here, there might be some legality to it, but there is absolutely no lawful constitutionality to it. And there's just no way. I mean, I just wrote an article about that called The Promise, America's Last Hope. And we need to understand there's two things we're dealing with here regarding masks or any of the COVID-19 safety precautions. And most of it's boils down to this. I'm concerned. No question about it. I am concerned about the coronavirus. But I'm concerned about obesity, and I'm concerned about cancer, and I'm concerned about people smoking too much. And if you get heart disease and all the diseases caused, cancers and everything else caused by all the diseases caused by smoking and any of the diseases.
Heart disease.
Look at heart disease and smoking-related diseases alone. That's over 1 million deaths a year. 1 million. And yet we have no shutdown of alcohol. We have no shutdown of cigarette smoking. Have we ever shut down the tobacco industry? In fact, we literally, the federal government, the USDA, has literally subsidized the tobacco industry. And I'm not assailing tobacco farmers at all. What I'm saying is we don't do this sort of thing with any other diseases. And why would we? Because we're not allowed to. And for instance, they will always say, if it saves but one life, then this is what we should do. Well, then shut down the car industry. The automobile industry kills 34,000 Americans every year. And again, half of those are alcohol related. Have we made alcohol illegal? Why don't we just shut down every place that they do that? Why do we sell so much beer at baseball games? Why don't we shut that down?
Well, okay. If they're going to say it saves one life, well, then let's not even walk across the street.
But let me finish the point. The point is this. I don't believe in smoking, and I've never smoked. I don't believe in drinking. I've never drank. But I will fight to the death for any legitimate business that's doing either one of those. I'll go to a bar who's staying open right now. The point is this. The government has no authority. No constitutional authority whatsoever. In fact, just the opposite. Because Alexander Hamilton and the Founding Fathers said that the greatest danger to America will be a government that ignores our Constitution. They're purposely subverting our Constitution. You can't shut down our economy. You can't go to a business owner and say, oh, well, people might get sick if they come in here, so you have to shut down and you can't make any money and you can't provide for your family anymore. We just destroyed his liberty. We just destroyed his property. We just destroyed his pursuit of happiness. And we're acting like, oh, it's okay, because after the crisis is over, whenever that is, we can get back to this and we'll let you back. It's not up to government to decide whether I stay in business. Their only role is to guarantee my equal opportunity to stay in business. And that's the problem. I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you that much about a mask. I can tell you one thing about the mask. It bothers me and it doesn't let me breathe properly. But this is the other thing on that. They say that you have to cover your mouth and your nose with a mask. Why the nose? Because the mask is, my cardiologist, I just met with him. He said the mask does not protect you at all. He says what it does, in fact, he totally believes in masks. He had two masks on, a double mask, the whole time we were in his office, and he wears it all day. He said, I take it off for lunch, and that's it, or to drink some water. He said, but it's two of them. And I said, why two? And then he explained that to me, and I didn't get it, some scientific thing. But he said, it prevents, the mask prevents the spitlets and little tiny pieces of saliva coming out of your mouth to getting on anybody else. So one, if you're staying 6 feet away from anybody, you shouldn't need to have a mask. You're already socially distancing. But I guess, okay, they want a double protection. None of that. Spitlets do not come out of your nose at all. And they, so all of a sudden now, oh, it's got to cover your nose too.
Yeah, I thought about that.
And the mask does not stop the air from coming from around your mask. So it's ridiculous for anybody to think, especially if you're on an airplane, the air coming out the side of your mask, it's not a balloon. It's not plastic that catches it all and keeps it from going to somebody around you. It's still in the air around you. And it provides very little benefit. But the big thing is they don't have the authority to do it.
Well, yeah. They claim it catches the saliva, but the thing is it's the aerosol that's the most dangerous anyways. But anyway, getting off the science behind the masks, the problem I have is their constitutional right to even do this in the first place. There are places like Washington, D.C. or Broward County, which is probably the armpit of this country when it comes to illegal activity, they are saying that people have to wear it when they exercise. They have to wear it if you're over three, you know, and kids just aren't spreading it. They aren't getting it. It's crazy. And they're even saying you have to wear it in your home if you have guests.
Yeah.
I mean, how far does that go past the Constitution?
And now it looks like they've lowered the mask down to 2 years old.
Oh, for God's sake.
And I have two little twin granddaughters, and there's no way they're going to keep a mask on. And again, that's unenforceable. It's just unrealistic. It's unsustainable. And my biggest problem with all of this is you just alluded to, Sarah. There's no way I'm going to give up my freedom. I'm not going to give up my liberty for this. You know, we all read in class. I teach high school and junior high American history. And we all read of these wonderful things the founding fathers said. And Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. You know, and you say any of that stuff today and everybody looks at you like you're crazy. But that's what we've taught our kids at school. Give me liberty or give me death. And government's only role in regards to taking care of me or doing anything to me or for me, the only role they have in my life is to guarantee that my rights are protected and secured. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. To secure my rights. And to do this whimsical, capricious thing about, oh, well, we got to shut down. The CDC and Fauci said you didn't need to wear a mask at the beginning of all of this. Then later, 2 months later, it's vital that everybody wears a mask. And it looks more like social engineering. That's the word I want. Social engineering more than social distancing or social help. But regardless of that, statistical analysis of how effective a mask is or all these other policies in supposedly protecting us from coronavirus is really immaterial. And I like I said at the beginning, I am concerned about the coronavirus, and I'm being very careful. And I'm telling you, at the beginning, they were talking about proper nutrition. They were talking about taking vitamin C and vitamin D and getting some sunshine and making sure that you're getting some vitamin A. And one thing they left out was iodine. And I take all of those every day. And I get them from Dr. Group, and he's an amazing scientist in his own right. But prevention, and Albert Einstein said that the best cure for any disease, for all diseases, is proper nutrition. And yet they've stopped that all of a sudden, and I think they're trying to get us ready for the vaccination.
Well, and I just did a show how they're censoring prevention, because there's a lot of natural health and prevention type companies that have been censored under Operation Quack Hack. It's what they call it. It's an FDA program that started in March where they're going after some quack companies, but they're going after a lot of companies, the majority are companies who are legit companies trying to help people with prevention and health, and they're shutting them down, like Dr. McCullough and things like that. So I think that we have a bigger problem on our hands because there's a bigger agenda that are out. They don't want people to get healthy because they want to give them this vaccine.
Well, that's what scares me. Yeah, that's what scares me the most. And that's what we're trying to prepare our sheriffs for in this country and our peace officers so that they're ready to defend us from this type of eugenics and this type of human experimentation.
Because this vaccine, let's be clear, is not tested enough. Even people who are 100% behind vaccines for helping the country and humanity, I'm gonna take that stance because I think it's more powerful right now.
Right.
Even those people should not be for this vaccine. And the reason why is it's a new type of vaccine and it hasn't been tested properly. It takes the last vaccine, the fastest vaccine that's ever gone through besides these, has taken 5 years. And in general, it takes 9 or more years to make sure you thoroughly test it and you know what's going on. And this is a whole new way of doing things. So how are they even, going warp speed on a whole? So even the people who are really wanting vaccines out to the population, they should be questioning this because it's not proper. This whole process, there's something wrong here. And if you can't read between the lines here and if you can't put the dots together here, we are in trouble.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a lot more bold in your face than having to read between the lines, because now that you have Englewood, Colorado, this is the worst one in the country. Englewood, Colorado, a $2,600 fine and a year in jail if you're caught without a mask.
Oh, my God.
And even Phoenix, with the dictators that we have in our city council and our mayor, all these liberals. Why is it always the liberals and Democrats that are so dictatorial? Why is it that they always want to run my life and tell me how to run my life? Even my they want to control our medicine. They want to control our health, our health care. They want to control how we travel, where we go, what we do, what we think. Oh, my gosh. Why can't these people learn one basic fundamental principle of liberty? Leave me the hell alone. And really, I have a right to be left alone.
I don't know why that's so hard.
Oh, I know. Why is it?
I don't know.
Why do they want to run our lives so much?
Yeah, why do they think it's their right?
Anyway.
What's wrong with them where they think it's our right? It's like having that anal power-hungry person around you that wants to, the bully that wants to control everything about you, and everybody just wants to get away from them because you just can't stand it. You're growing up and it's that teacher or that anal retentive person that bullies everybody, that controls it. That's who these people seem to be. Why can't people see through it? I don't know.
Yeah. When I first wore a mask, what hit me the hardest? The Statue of Liberty hit me when I put that mask on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
What does the Statue of Liberty say? Bring us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Oh, yes.
That's how I feel. I'm an American. I want to breathe free. And it's a choice. I'm telling you right now that the leadership in this country is failing us miserably, because this is, in fact, I have to, they'll make an exception for the president, because the president hasn't issued a single order. He's called them guidelines, and that's it. The only ones issuing these orders are governors and mayors, and but
it's incredible.
Real leadership on this.
I want to say one thing about the Statue of Liberty. It's like they're taking away your right to breathe. I think you're right. You got me to think about it, because I have an issue. I can't breathe. And then I panic because I knew I always had this, but it was never really an issue, because who would have, it just never crossed my mind that it'd ever be an issue in my life. And it never was all through our history. If my mouth is covered, if I have sheets on my head or if there's something, I just kind of panic because I can't breathe. And I realized with these masks that I panic when I can't breathe, and then it gets bad, right? I'm like, I can't breathe, and I got to get it off. And so what they're doing to me, is they're, and especially the places that don't have medical exemptions, what they're saying is they're taking away my right to breathe. They're discriminating against me, first of all, and they're taking away my right to breathe.
They're definitely taking away our right to choose, and that's what I was going to say about leadership. It would be this, okay? We really have done the research here, and we've done extensive, and here's the documentation of our research on this. And so this is what we highly recommend that people do. We totally suggest social distancing, that you stay away from each other with 6 feet, and that you shake, and that you stop shaking hands with people. And I do that all the time. I'm the biggest handshaker in the world. Every kid I see at school, I'm always shaking hands, and they come in early in the morning so they can shake Sheriff Mac's hand. And it's really been a touching experience for me, to be honest with you, the connection that I've made with so many kids just over shaking hands. And I can't do that anymore. But I'm telling you right now, the leadership would say, we highly recommend this. It's going to keep you healthier. It's going to keep people around you healthier. It's going to starve this coronavirus, but we cannot force you to do this. And the mayor of Eager, Arizona, said exactly that. He says, the city of Eager has no authority, and there is no government on earth that has the authority to force you to wear a mask. We will not do that here. So he's going completely against the governor's dictates, and he's telling the truth. That's what true leadership would look like on this. They would reason with us. They would persuade us, but they will never force us. And the people in charge of this government are three little words that start at the beginning of our Constitution. We the people. And they're not supposed to be trying to run our lives like this. And they can reason and persuade and educate us, but they cannot force us to do this. And so therein lies the problem, and they have no authority to do it.
Well, let's talk about some of the other serious issues that are happening with schools. There are reports, or there are lack of reports, that not a single adult in a school in the world has been affected by a student. Yet there's these adults and the propaganda machine and the politicians are saying, we got to keep our kids safe. We got to keep the adults safe. And they're worried about closing the schools. It's like, well, they're saying that studies exist and they're not sure that kids could spread it to adults and everything else. But if there isn't a single case in the world that they can point to, then it's probably not that likely. And why are they forcing these schools to these children who aren't dying? It's way lower than dying from the flu or almost any other thing. And there's zero cases of kids spreading it to adult. So why would they make kids do any preventative measures when that's the situation?
Well, you have to look at this now as completely political. And both sides, I mean, guess who's saying we have to keep doing this and shutting down and making everything as bold as they possibly can that's going to affect the political success of one Donald Trump. And I think there's no question about it that look at the mayors and governors that ignore the violence going on in our major cities in America. They're all Democrats, and they all keep assailing President Trump for his coronavirus response and how he's handled this. And so they continue to try to make it as worse as they possibly can, because they know the bottom line is people will look around and say, well, are things going well, or are they going bad? If they're going well, I'm going to vote for the incumbent. If not, I'm going to vote for somebody else that's already been proved to be totally incompetent. But the Democrats even have a commercial out there about just President Trump's response to the coronavirus. And I'm not a big Republican fan. I think both parties are very destructive to our country. I think the Democrats are worse, but I don't know if that really matters or makes everybody feel a little more comfortable, because I take no comfort in saying it. But they are worse, and they're the party of death and destruction and violence and hate, and yet they say they're just the opposite. But this is the thing. It's all turned political. So how do we believe, and who do we believe on any of this? And we have so much conflicting information and hypocrisy coming out there. And I wish somebody would just do a video of how many times Fauci has contradicted himself.
Flip-flopped.
And not only that, he can't throw a baseball worth a dang. He threw the baseball out for the Washington Nationals game, and it was the ball almost went closer to first base than it did to the catcher.
That's hilarious.
And, I am poking fun at him. And the thing of it is, I think he's about as good a doctor and immunologist as he is a baseball player, because this is the thing. He has contradicted himself so many times since this began, and yet we're all basing our lives and health on this guy. And so let's do our own research, and I'll tell you right now, look at Dr. Shiva and what he has said on the Internet. Look him up on YouTube. Look up Dr. Rashid Batar. I'm on a committee with him. And look what he has said about the mask and social distancing and herd immunity. And look at the science that he has projected. And he will tell you, you need to take preventative measures such as proper nutrition and vitamins. Now that I go for.
I've had multiple doctors on, and we talk about this, and it's all the same. But if you have integrity, like Dr. Fauci, if he had integrity, he wouldn't be flopping all over the place. It is what it is. So you know that there's bigger measures here. But now what you said was very key. You said that you're educating the sheriffs to be ready for this vaccine mandate. And this is what scares me. They're ready to get the troops. They have the troops all lined up, the military, to give us vaccines. What does that mean?
Well, if we will do anything, I mean, I feel like the next thing they're going to tell us to do, just because they want to laugh at us and see how much sheep we all really are, but the sheeple of America are walking around with these masks and I take a hand sanitizer everywhere I go. I'm telling you, I try to be careful. But right now, everybody walking around with these masks on, it looks like a bunch of sheep, and I think the fear-mongering they know is working. They've always known that that's the best tool for propaganda and brainwashing, and they've got us. And they could tell us to crawl around in a grocery store, and anybody over 5 feet, you must crawl. Anybody that's over 5 feet, it's go ahead, you can walk. And you'll be seeing all these people crawling around and with masks, and nobody cares, because as long as you scare them enough, they'll do whatever you say. And that's what people are going to line up for, that vaccine. As long as they call it a coronavirus vaccine or COVID-19 vaccine, people are going to line up for that. But the thing of it is, there's going to be a few of us who will not, and we're not going to take it. And there's where the sheriffs come in.
Yeah, because how are you going to protect the people like me and my family and all of our listeners who are like, heck no, hell no, I'm not taking that vaccine.
Right.
You guys take it first. We'll see how it works with you. Politicians, you better be lined up to take it. And all these pharmaceutical heads and CEOs, I want to see you taking it. Fauci, you're up there first. And then we'll watch it for a few years and see what happens to you. And then maybe I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, I'd give them 9 months. I want to see what happens to them after 9 months. I want to see what happens to the coronavirus after 9 months.
Well, I want to make sure that they take the real vaccine.
Well, yeah.
I have a feeling they'd take like saline solution or something.
How are you going to know they really took it?
I don't think they will. But regardless.
Regardless, the sheriff needs to be prepared for that.
What does that mean? What does it mean to prepare? And do you think the sheriff Do you think you have enough support to make sure that the listeners and myself and everyone out there who really is awake to what's going on and are going to say hell no with this thing, are they aware enough to protect us?
Not yet. But do you want to help me get funded?
I'll help you any way I can because I want protection for me and my listeners and for my family and everyone else. This is a big deal.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I feel so guilty about all of this because it's really hard for me to ask for money. I have a decent job. I'm on Social Security, but I have no retirement other than Social Security. So that's why I'm still working and I'm doing everything I can to get the sheriffs trained and to get people protected. But the thing of it is, we need to duplicate what I'm doing about tenfold. And so we're actually looking at other sheriffs who are now retired, who were pretty decent constitutional sheriffs when they were in law enforcement. And we're trying to get them trained, and that's going to take about a week, and that's going to take probably about $150,000 to pay for all of that, to get them there and to pay them to be there and get them the week-long training and get a facility and pay for that and pay for their travel. But because I want to make that open to them. They go, oh, well, I don't have the money, or I've got this other consulting job. And one of our best sheriffs in American history, Sheriff Brad Rogers, is in Elkhart County, Indiana, and he's running for county commissioner now. And he already won the primary, so the likelihood is 99% that he's going to be the next county commissioner, and we want to hire him away from that. Regardless, we got to get him to the training, because he already told me he would do it whenever he could when he didn't have county commissioner meetings. So that's one of our big things, is we want to not duplicate our effort and what I've been doing. We want to times it by 10. And we want to get all these sheriffs out there, former sheriffs.
How much money do you need?
Really about $250,000.
Yes. How much money do you need? Let's get a GoFundMe page going today. $250,000. Let's get a GoFundMe page started.
Okay, do it.
Today, we'll launch it with this show. And I will get that going. We'll launch it with this show. And we need to get it shared everywhere because our sheriffs need to protect so we don't have to take these vaccines. They're the only ones we can count on. Tell us why the sheriff is so important again.
But see, this is the issue with the sheriff being prepared for this, is that it must happen before they start going door to door to give us the vaccination, or before they have us lining up at school. And that's what I think. Another thing I really fear is that in these public schools, they'll get the kids the vaccination without your permission. So look, all of these things, the tactics that they're going to use to force the vaccination upon American citizens, the tactics they're going to use will be very imaginative, very innovative, and they're not going to totally catch us by surprise, because we already know that it looks like it's coming. I don't know for a fact, neither do you, but it looks like it's coming. And they've already said that they've got two different companies that are getting really close to having the vaccine. They're not going to wait for it to be tested properly. You already said that. Everybody knows they're not going to wait, because they want the solution, and here it is, and people are being socially engineered to, well, they'll take the vaccination no matter what. And so this is what the sheriffs must be aware of and educated about, and the sheriffs must take action to prevent this before that day comes. They can't wait for the day they're coming to us door to door to give us the vaccination, or they're ordering us to get on the bus to the health department to go get lined up, and everybody's last name that starts with an A through M is going this day or this week, and then everybody N through Z is the next week, and whatever they do on this, however they're going to try to do this to us, we must have the sheriffs and police and peace officers of this country prepared and educated, and have the response ready, and have them warn the health department, and have them warn the mayors and the governors, and the health departments. You're not doing that in my county. Now, I've had several conversations with sheriffs about this already because they've called me and asked me to endorse them in their reelection bids. And I said, and my biggest question to them, Sarah, guess what it is? What will you do if they try to force people to be vaccinated? He goes, oh, yeah, that's probably coming. And I said, what are you going to do? He goes, well, it's not going to happen in my county, not as long as I'm sheriff. I says, but what are we going to do? I like your stern approach to this. That's solid. But what are you going to do? He goes, well, I guess I'd have to notify him beforehand, wouldn't I? And I said, exactly. I said, we have to let them know that this isn't going to happen.
But that's the issue we have here is that the ones that are thinking about this and the ones that have been listening and already agree with it or whatever are out there trying to educate people. This has never happened before. So what are you going to do is such a great question because I would be the same way. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I guess I don't know. We got to figure that out. So it's such a basic question, but it's so important.
Yeah, exactly. And we're working on this plan. And I don't think prior notification is the only plan. It can't be. Because then, after you've put them on notice, you must have people ready to notify the sheriff if they start this and he wasn't notified and he doesn't know about it. Then people need to get a way to notify a neighbor or notify somebody else on the sheriff's posse or get a deputy in the area to get over to your home real quickly. And so the response has to be very quick and ubiquitous at the same time. It has to cover the entire county. And so a posse is going to be really necessary, phone trees, and even ways to communicate if phones are not working. And so this is a vital plan that we are working on. But now we've got to get the sheriff trained and help them implement it.
Well, and when do you plan, and what timing are we talking? I mean, this is pretty quick, right? You got to get moving on this. So
yeah, we all know time is of the essence. So, and it is. This could be, don't you really believe by the end of the year that they could have this started?
Yes, absolutely. I think you need to be training people yesterday, but since it can't be yesterday, and you probably already are, I know you are, you're always doing this, but yesterday it wasn't soon enough. So we got to do it as soon as possible. That's why we're going to get this GoFundMe page going today. And I'm going to try to raise 300,000 because you're asking for 250 and being in a business person, I know we're always wrong and I want to give you a little extra money. So we're doing 300,000 for you, and we're going to see how quickly we can raise that money. And
what the first thing I'm going to do, if that money's there, is I'm going to quit teaching school and I'm going to do this full time.
Excellent. Not that it's a sad day for your students.
That's what I really feel guilty about is.
You can go back.
Well, thank you. I thank you for that. But I love them to pieces. I absolutely love those kids. I love my association with them. I love being around them. They teach me so much. But I'm telling you, I'm supposed to be doing this full time, and I need to do it full time, but I can't afford to do it unless we find some other way to pay my rent each month.
But let me tell you this. I'm going to give you a little thing. Because you love them so much, you need to be doing this.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point, because it's for them that I need to do it too. You know, I want to keep them safe and
yes.
I want to keep them educated about this. That's one of the reasons why I want to go back for maybe a couple of weeks and teach them about how we don't sacrifice liberty for public health. And it's not okay to destroy the economy. And I would ask them the same thing. Those of you who believe it's okay to destroy your parents' livelihoods, how long do you think the government can pay us to stay home and not work? How long until we have food lines and food shortages and that everybody's not working, who's going to bring us the food? Who's going to fill the grocery stores? Who's going to farm? Who's going to transport all of this? And it's already been an obvious example. It's already shown that food shortages have already been started with the meat industry, the paper industry. That was the first one to go. You couldn't buy toilet paper or paper towels or Kleenex. at any of the stores in the entire country. And in fact, I thought it was really fun. I was way ahead of the curve on most of that. I already had paper towels and toilet paper and Kleenex, and I've probably doubled it since then too. But I would go to stores just to see the empty shelves, and I would take pictures of all these empty shelves.
Yep.
And it was so. I said, man, oh man.
Well, they have bigger agendas. We have a coin shortage because I think they're trying to pull the coins out of the system. I mean, we have some other bigger agendas.
It's
that
a cashless society.
Yes, I know. Yep.
Yeah, they want a cashless society completely.
Yep, and so they're pulling that out of the system. And but they're not, they're doing it by force, and they're doing it with fear, and they're doing it by collapsing our way of life. And whatever you think, it's not okay to destroy people's lives. The worry that I have are the business owners that don't have a cushion. They don't get Social Security. They don't get anything. And they're not cared for.
Yeah.
These people are desperate.
Yeah, and I think that one of the greatest pieces of propaganda and the greatest lie that has been told to the American people, that government will take care of you, and that there's always enough money. The biggest lie from Washington and Nancy Pelosi and both sides of the aisle, the biggest lie is, we will take care of you, so go ahead and shut down, because we're going to be able to pay everybody enough to do that. That is the biggest lie.
To Trump's credit, he is saying this is completely unsustainable. You can't do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trump's the only one that's really been on both sides, and Rand Paul, that have really made any sense telling the truth.
Yeah, well, I think Trump's moving towards the middle right now, like hardcore to the middle, because the left has almost fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, exactly, and he's trying to point that out, and they are. I mean, I'm astonished at the things the left has said in the last 4 months. I'm absolutely blown away. And it used to be that the communist takeover of America from within was incremental. But it's not incremental anymore. It's bold in your face, and the last 4 months has been a bomb of advancement in the takeover, the communist takeover of America.
Absolutely.
How many wars did we fight to stop communism? Let's see. The Cold War was all about containing communism. World War II was all about stopping communism. Vietnam War was supposedly about that. Korean War was about that. We still don't know what the First World War was about.
That was the propaganda about what it was about. And I think a lot of people believed that was what it was about. But after you start realizing what the deep state's about today and what the globalists are about, I wonder. And all the different history, you just wonder what everything's about anymore.
And I do want people in your audience, in your listening audience, to know that there has been a huge silver lining in a lot of this. I mean, let me tell you about some of the surprises. One is several sheriffs in California standing against their governor. And that's been astonishing. Several sheriffs in Washington standing against their governor, and two of the worst in the entire country. If you go the top three worst ones, top five worst ones, New Jersey, Whitmer in Michigan, and then, of course, Newsom, and then Inslee in Washington, and then New York. You got five the worst governors in America and American history. And we have sheriffs now standing in every single one of them against their own governor. And Riverside County in California, Sheriff Bianco standing against that governor. That totally surprised me. And even
why are they the worst?
Why is that the governor the worst?
Why are the five governors you named the worst?
Oh, because they're the most they're the most dictatorial and Hitleric in what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah. Thank you. Cuomo accepts no responsibility for the horrible things that he's done to people, and including his tactics in getting people with COVID back to nursing homes and all those people died. But the dictator that they have appointed themselves to be, probably Whitmer, probably the worst one there, just going crazy, allowing people to go to another one of their homes where they couldn't even travel. But the worst, they can't buy seeds to plant a garden. So obviously she doesn't want people being able to feed themselves. She wants people starving. She wants people under government control. Good sheriffs, I mean, you can look it up on internet, and one of those sheriffs is on our Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He's on our board of advisors, and Sheriff Darleaf, and he's fantastic, and he's helping lead the way and train other sheriffs there in Michigan and work with them as best he can. But the foundation needs to come, and that's what we give at our training. They need a foundation in all of these freedom aspects that you and I have been discussing today. And Sheriff of Sacramento, Scott Jones, I'm totally blown away, because Sacramento's a pretty liberal area, kind of like Austin, Texas. It's the capital, but it's the smaller town. It's not the town that really runs the state. Dallas and Houston run Texas, and Los Angeles and San Francisco run California. But Sacramento, being the capital, just like Austin, they have a sheriff there who said, I'm not enforcing this. This is completely unenforceable. It's unconstitutional. We're not going to do it. And that's key to all of this. Legislatures can make any law they want. Governors can issue any executive order they want. It depends on the boots on the ground who is going to enforce it, and who's not going to enforce it, or if they enforce it, how. And so that's where we come in, and we teach that to all the sheriffs. And listen, we're not going to get all the sheriffs. Let's not put our heads in the clouds here. But we're hoping to get about 800. If we could get 1,000, that would be one-third of the nation's sheriffs. Let me tell you, if we get 800 sheriffs, there will be no stopping this. We will take back America, our Constitution, and our liberty tomorrow, as soon as we get those kind of numbers. But let me reiterate, man, we need fun.
I love what you're doing. Keep going.
Well, that's up to, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's up to everybody listening to this program.
What should they do besides going to the GoFundMe page? I will have a link to this. To that, as soon as this goes out, it'll go up.
They can donate it. They can donate there. They can donate at cspoa.org. But they also need to start having a relationship with their sheriff, and never get mad talking to him, even if he's a tyrant and a dictator, even if he's totally against you and he's totally for masks and enforcement thereof. Don't burn any bridges with him. Talk with him. Try to get him educated. Say, well, look, I don't have all the information. Mac has got a bunch more stuff than I do. But he won a case at the United States Supreme Court, and it's the only time in history that a sheriff sued the federal government, a couple of sheriffs, Sheriff Prince and myself, sued the federal government and won a case, a landmark case, on the side of freedom. Have you ever looked at the case? Can I get you a copy of it? How about if we all pay for you to get to his training? How about if we have him come here and train your office and maybe a few other sheriffs in the area? Man, if you can make that happen, and let me tell you, it's happened all across the country that we've had that kind of success. And so whether right now, this is another thing, we're spending quite a bit of our no money that we don't have, but we're trying to get all my training on tape so we can put this out online, so you can actually get it to your sheriff and literally hand it to him instead of having me to come in there and travel to wherever you are.
Okay, and what's your website?
Okay, good. CSPOA, CS, Constitutional Sheriffs, and then Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. And all our materials are there, our training materials are there. And everybody, all of you need to get the training also. You can't go talk to your sheriff if you don't know what you're talking about. So we're getting an online training ready for every citizen. And, man, yes, we need you involved in this process. It will not work if we, the people, are not involved in the process.
Well, thank you so much. We are so blessed to have you doing this. You are on a mission from God, I think, and we are so blessed. And please keep doing what you're doing. I'll do everything I can to raise money. This whole GoFundMe page, I think there are so many patriots lined up that'll help get the word out. And I hope we get it funded by this weekend. That would be so cool. And I just hope people really help get the word out.
Yep. Okay, good. Thank you so much. I appreciate talking.